everybody, and welcome to episode 146 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I'm Ron, as always, joined by the man that some say they saw getting his first shot of the COVID vaccine recently, Brian. Brian, lots of buzz out there. Many people are saying that you may have gotten the first shot of the vaccine. Any comment at this time to those people?
Okay. I'm glad you brought this up. It's something that I have been meaning to address all week because it's something that is very hurtful. It is hurtful to my very existence. Now, there have been some posts on social media, on Instagram, on Facebook, that says, how do I say this politely? People, there have been posts that have featured vaccination cards. Some people seem to have gotten the impression that that meant that I went out and got the vaccine. And that is slanderous. That is absolutely lies. It's libel and it's hurtful. There are individuals in the state of New York where I'm currently located, and they've been spending hours, days, the past weeks, going into months, trying to get themselves vaccinated. The very idea that somebody who does not meet one of those qualifications would jump the line, would commit a misdemeanor fraud, guilty of up to $1,000 fine in the state of New York. The fact that people would think that I would do that, it's harmful. It hurts. It makes me question what people actually think, who I am, what kind of person I am, what morals, what ethics I bring to the table. So I can hold my hand up high and say, no, I have not received any COVID vaccinations.
All right. Well, thank you for clearing up that matter. Let's start things off, as always, with a nice drink.
Drink of the week.
Na zdrowie.
Salud.
Drink of the week.
Sláinte.
Prost. Drink of the week. Drink of the week.
All right, Brian, what are you drinking tonight?
You know, I'm all about the hazy IPAs, right, Ron? You know that's my jam.
Some days you are, yes.
All about the hazy IPAs. Coming out of Brooklyn, we've got from 18th Ward Brewing. Today I'm busting out the Airship Tycoon Hazy IPA. It's a, how would I describe it? It's a super easy drinking North England IPA brewed with a mashup of American, German, English, and New Zealand ingredients. It's got a huge bouquet of guava and passion fruit, complemented peppery dankness.
Very
on the
nice.
Nose. You know, I'm all about the dankness on my nose. A massive citrus and tropical fruit with a light malt backbone and a pleasant bitterness finish that this light-bodied IPA comes in at 7%.
Not too bad for a hazy IPA. Nice little citrus kick in your mouth in this pre-spring drink of the week. How are you liking it?
It's actually quite flavorful.
Very nice.
I am liking this. I okay. would, yeah, I will finish this beer if that's what you were worried about.
I mean, I'm never worried about you not finishing a beer. I'm just worried about your enjoyment, Brian. It's really what it always comes down to.
Thank you.
Yeah, anytime. So I am cracking open one of my birthday presents this week from the legendary Dwayne The Rock Johnson. This is his Terramana Small Batch Tequila Blanco from Mexico. I put it on ice. I don't know about you. I like my sipping vodka or sipping tequila on ice. So let's literally my first sip. I have not yet broken up this bottle, not yet tried it. Let's see how it is.
And as Ron slowly lifts the glass to his lips, imbibing the liquid.
It's not bad. No burns. Very smooth. Very smooth.
It's not bad is not quite the sterling recommendation that I would have expected.
It's okay. I think it would be better as a mixer. I don't know if it's one that I'm going to necessarily drink straight all the time. But I do have the other version of Teremano, so maybe I will try that next week. We can do a side-by-side comparison.
Have you considered just putting an IV into your arm and just injecting it cold right into the blood veins?
Maybe we'll try that 3 weeks from now. So we'll see. But yes, as some people are pointing out, oh, I can need to point with this finger.
What happens in 3 weeks?
We do have a brand new whiteboard behind me.
What's that say?
It says new whiteboard, bitches. So much less huge than the previous one, which I'm not quite sure why my wife had such a big whiteboard because she couldn't reach the top of it. This one hopefully will stick to the wall, unlike the last one.
Do you think maybe she was just compensating for a lack of size elsewhere in her life?
I mean, I can only postulize that maybe that's the case.
Okay. All right.
That's the word or not.
But it does look like the back of the behind you area, that looks also different, not just the whiteboard.
Some things have moved around. You know, the desk, her desk has been put against a different wall now. So we've moved her little shelf over here. So she is readjusting, you know, again, coming into spring. She wanted to be able to look out the window here in the office. So whatever she wants, this is her space. This is only my space for these couple of hours on Thursday nights.
You get 2 hours a week, the rest of it. Because I did pick up this weekend when I was down there that she referred to it as her office.
Yes.
Not the office or our office, but she said, well, it's in my office.
It hurts. You know how to hurt me. That's all I can say.
Speaking of, you look a little different. You appear to be a little bit more confident.
Yeah.
You look more settled within yourself.
A little wider.
I wouldn't say you look wider. That's hurtful. I would never I wouldn't fat shame you at any time. So you turned 50.
How does it feel on Sunday? How does it feel? Feels very similar to being 49. Not gonna lie.
Have you yelled at any teenagers yet?
Not as of yet. Felt like it, but the lawn hasn't grown in enough for me to yell at them to get off of it.
Okay. Soon, all right.
Coming. I'm becoming very, very difficult and cranky in my advanced age. I'm not going to lie.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't sensed that.
Not for you. I mean, you know, you're a friend. I'm just saying.
You mean to the teenagers in the neighborhood?
The townie punks, the crazy kids out there.
In suburban Pennsylvania. I love it. Love it.
In the meantime, let's keep things moving here with this week.
This.
In racism.
Week.
In.
Racism.
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 Oh, what a week, Brian. We had to shrink the font to keep everything on two pages. So let's just get right into it. Going up to Albany, New York. Our alma mater, the University at Albany, has decided after a months-long review to rename its Indian Quad Residence Hall as Indigenous Quad after widespread criticism that the former name was racist and insensitive to Native Americans. The campus road where the tower is located will also be renamed Indigenous Drive. UAlbany officials received a student petition in June asking that Indian Quad be renamed and also to create a task force that would identify and rename other buildings and campus landmarks that evoke racism. Now, did you ever live on campus when you went to Albany?
I lived downtown for 2 years.
Okay.
I never lived on the main campus. Fortunately for me, in high school, I knew somebody who had attended Albany, and they said to me, you would be miserable living on campus uptown. If you're going up to go to Albany, stay on the downtown dorms. The people are more, how do I say this, freakish,
right?
And you'll fit in much better there. And yeah, they were 100% correct.
So we had Indian Quad, we had State Quad, we had Dutch Quad, and for the life of me, I can't think of what the fourth quad was.
Dutch?
Indian?
State? Indian. Wasn't there one with an O? Because that was the one, which is the one that I broke my leg on? I mean, I broke my back.
I'm not sure. Well, we'll look into that and we'll get back. Let's keep plowing through the racism here. We have said this many, many times in the last, I think, month. I think we've had at least one story.
Can I cut you in?
Sure.
Colonial
quad. Very nice.
Colonial.
But so just a message to the high school teachers out there. You do not want to include slavery in your teaching, having your kids pretend to be slaves, masters, any of that. And yet, we have it again in South Fayette Township, Pennsylvania, out near Pittsburgh. A high school teacher has been suspended over an assignment in which students were asked to answer if slaves were profitable. The South Fayette Township School District said Wednesday it had suspended an unnamed social studies teacher after reviewing the controversial homework lesson. As part of the assignment, 10th grade students were told to imagine themselves as retired captains in the British Navy and asked, is the slave trade profitable? One of the students who received the homework assignment brought their concerns to the administrators who have opened up an investigation.
Wow. Wow.
Now, this went one step further down in Opelousas, Louisiana. Opelousas high school teacher Patricia Brignac has been charged with one count of simple battery after allegedly pushing a student while asking him to remove a Black Lives Matter sweatshirt. Brignac is alleged to have approached the student and asked that he remove the BLM Matter sweatshirt as it goes against school policy. When the student advised that he had been given permission by a member of the school staff, Brignac allegedly grabbed the student's shirt and pushed him. The student's parents complained to school administrators, who later contacted the police. Brignac was issued a summons and is due to appear before a judge to face the charge.
Never mind. Wow.
Students,
you can't put your hands on a kid.
Can't do that. In Bridgewater, Massachusetts, Bridgewater State University has apologized after a survey included a vignette calling the Black Lives Matter movement, quote, a wild beast preying on your local community. It said, quote, the Black Lives Matter is a wild beast preying on your local community. Just 1 year ago, the city was in good shape with no obvious vulnerabilities. Now, protest-related incidents fluctuate unpredictably, and for many, it seems like not enough is being done. The survey went on to say the city's defense systems have weakened and normal life has succumbed to BLM disputes. The protests have strained your community and have threatened the town's health and human services. It seems danger lurks around every corner, and there is a worry that if the city does not regain its strength soon, even more serious problems may start to develop. In a statement, the university's president, Frederick W. Clark, and Provost Dr. Kareem Ismaili said the university is reviewing the use of the survey after receiving, quote, a number of student complaints. We're not done with universities yet, Brian. This one in Mobile, Alabama. Three professors at the University of South Alabama have been placed on leave after photos surfaced of them wearing and holding racist symbols at a campus event in 2014. In two videos verified by university spokesperson Lance Crawford, one professor is pictured wearing a Confederate soldier's uniform while two other professors pose with a whip and a noose. The photos were taken at a campus costume party held at the Mitchell College of Business. The three tenured professors placed on leave are Bob Wood, Alex Charlin, and Teresa Weldy. The university has said they will conduct an independent investigation into the situation. And then in Washington, D.C., a white Georgetown professor belittled Black students during a Zoom call with a colleague, saying that they usually perform just plain at the bottom of her classes. A brief clip posted to Twitter shows an adjunct professor of law identified by the Georgetown Black Law Students Association as Sandra Sellers and another faculty member, David Batson, having what they believed was a private discussion about a class they jointly taught. Quote, I end up having this angst every semester that a lot of my lower ones are Blacks, Sellers said. Happens almost every semester. And it's like, oh, come on. It's some really good ones, but there are usually some that are just plain at the bottom. It drives me crazy. The Law Student Association is now calling for her immediate resignation, and the university has promised a thorough investigation.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Brian, I know you're a fan of this magazine. Teen Vogue staffers openly slammed their newly hired editor-in-chief, Alexi McHammond, over recently resurfaced tweets she made that mocked Asian people. Over the weekend, a series
I just subscribed to that magazine.
I know. A series of since-deleted tweets that McCammon posted in 2011 when she was a teenager resurfaced on social media. quote, now Googling how not to wake up with swollen Asian eyes, one of the tweets read. And then the other one said, give me a 2 out of 10 on my chem problem, cross out all of my work, and don't explain what I did wrong. Thanks a lot, stupid Asian TA. You're great. McCammon has apologized for the tweets, but an investigation is still ongoing.
These tweets are from when she was in college?
She was a teenager. She was back in 2011.
So these are 10 years old tweets. These are
10 years old, yes.
Okay.
All right. Up your way, Brian. Brooklyn, New York. Police are looking for a driver who allegedly spewed racial epithets at a teenager on Saturday night, then clipped her with his vehicle as he drove off. The 18-year-old was unloading bags from her mother's double-parked minivan, and the driver of a white SUV asked her to move. He then got out of his vehicle and began yelling at the woman, calling her a black bitch, using the N and C words, and saying, go back to where you came from. She threatened to call the police, causing the man to take off, clipping her on the way past. Driver has not yet been identified.
That's odd, because friend of the show, Dom, has a white SUV, and I know he, I believe he was in Brooklyn last Saturday visiting his mom.
All right. And then we also have New York Attorney General Letitia James is now suing an upstate New York ice cream shop owner for allegedly falsely reporting that Black Lives Matter protesters were threatening to shoot him, using for the first time a new law prompted by the Central Park Karen case.
Yeah.
So this is this will be the first time testing out this law. The person in question, David Elmendorf, is the owner of now closed Schenectady, New York ice cream shop Bumpy's Polar Freeze. He drew protesters near his shop in June 2020 after racist text messages he allegedly sent circulated on social media. The text included racial slurs and one in which Elmendorf said, quote, I don't hire black people. During one of the protests,
I guess he also doesn't carry chocolate ice cream.
during one of the protests on group on June 30, the group stood peacefully on the porch of a private house near Bumpy's. But for 15 minutes, Elmendorf yelled slurs, including the N-word and monkeys, the court documents charge. Quote, if you come over here, I'm going to shoot you, Elmendorf allegedly said. I'll kill all of you effing N-words, the court finally and also alleges he said. Elmendorf threatened the demonstrators with a baton and said he'd go into the ice cream parlor and grab a gun, prompting the protesters to flee. Then Elmendorf called 911, claiming that there were, quote, 20 armed protesters who were threatening to shoot him, adding that they were, quote, savages hanging out in Section 8 housing. When 50 protesters showed up later, Elmendorf, wielding a .22 caliber air rifle pellet gun, threatened, I'll run you N-words over with my truck.
Wow.
Yeah, that's...
That's New York?
That's Schenectady, New York, my hometown.
Now, that's... Hold on a second. have you ever been to Bubby's custard shop?
I'm
not familiar
with Bubby's Polar Freeze. I'm going to have to look and see. I feel maybe it was something else back in the day. But yeah, I'm not familiar with Bubby's, which is close.
That's not the place where your mom took you and your brother as you were when you were kids?
That is not. We went to Curry
every Saturday,
but not Bumpy's Polar Freeze.
Being honest.
I am. And one last story. It's Racism Rewind.
Racism Rewind.
All right. Former CEO and founder of pizza chain Papa John's says he's...
Papa John! Better ingredients, better pizza, more racism.
Racist language for the past 20 months. John Schnatter, the Papa John's founder, who in 2018 stepped down for using the N-word during a conference call, said in an interview with One America News Network that he is not a racist, and the pizza chain's board has painted him in that manner. Quote, we've had three goals for the last 20 months, Schnatter said in the interview, to get rid of this N-word in my vocabulary and dictionary and everything else, because it's just not true. Figure out how they did this and get on with my life.
It's taken him. It's taken him 20 months.
20 months it took
for him to stop using the N-word.
To get the N-word out of his vocabulary. And apparently he has a dictionary with the N-word in it, which I guess maybe is the special dictionary he had to hunt down and find.
I believe it comes on the iPhone 12, not the iPhone 11. I think it's
understood.
It's one of the things Apple decided to include in the latest update.
So that was this week in racism, Brian. Quite the week.
That was sobering. I thought we, you know, I felt like we got off onto a great, shot. There was high energy, good vibes. It was all, and then I feel like we just got reminded that America is still a shithole. I love this country. Don't get me wrong, but there's so many problems.
Well, let's see if we can bring it down further with Beef of the Week.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
Brian, what's bothering you this week?
Joe Biden.
Really? Sleepy Joe.
Joe Biden. I am furious.
Okay, talk to me.
Furious.
Is it because you're not getting your stimmy?
No.
Okay.
Nothing to do with stimmy. It has to do with the fact that today at 8 o'clock was a very special day.
What's that?
We were, we knew we were going to be airing episode 146 today. Thursdays, 8 o'clock Eastern time. That is when we broadcast. Week in, week out, except for Christmas Eve when Ron likes to take a week off.
Yes, apart from that time. Anyway, please continue.
And what does Sleepy Joe do? He has been in office for a month now, a month plus, 42 days he's been. He has not done any press conferences. He's hiding in the basement, in the bunker, hashtag bunker bitch. And suddenly, this week, he decided that he is going to give his first national address at 8 p.m. on Thursday on national television, ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, MSNBC, Fox, OAN, OWN.
He's on all the networks. We get it. Yes.
All the networks talking about the 1 year anniversary of the pandemic. Knowing full well that I have spent the past 4 weeks editing my own home videos to make a presentation of, and you saw the preview this weekend. It came in just short.
I was moved. Saw the tear roll down my cheek.
It came in just under 27 minutes. It was my COVID struggle. I had sent out press releases to all of the news agencies, AP, UPI, Charlie Hebdo.
All of the press outlets. We get that. Yes.
Al-Qaeda. I even invited Al-Qaeda to the premiere. But I was going to be premiering my COVID struggle, my 3 weeks in hell by Brian Perlis. And Sleepy Joe decided that he was going to just, he was jealous. He couldn't let the fact that we were going to get some of his attention, we were going to get some of his heat, and maybe the world would suddenly understand just how important what I went through was. Because a year ago today, I was 2 days away from getting very sick.
And I guess it's kind of a cock block in podcast terminology, but at least we know he probably won't be back on the air for another couple of months. So we just got to ride through tonight and we'll be good, Brian.
My heart is broken.
Okay.
And my home and my movie will never see the light of day because of this.
It's a shame. I feel we've lost a tremendous piece of art.
I had financial investors lined up waiting to see what the press reviews were going to be. I had film festivals eager to get involved. By the way, I'm scratching this arm just because it's itchy, not because of the allegations that I received a vaccine shot. I don't want people thinking that.
Not at all.
Ron?
Yes.
Ron?
Yeah.
What's bothering you?
You know what's bothering me, Brian? People, yet again, are bothering me this week. So
people.
Yeah. So beautiful, beautiful weather in Pennsylvania these last few days. I assume you had some nice weather up there as well.
Today?
Yeah. So yesterday, the missus and I decided to go to one of our local parks, take a little walk, a little hike, be healthy, you know, trying to be a little bit healthier now that I'm 50. Yeah. And, you know, just a simple rule when you go to the parks these days, all they ask is just wear a mask. We're sure. kind of at the tail end of this thing. People are getting vaccinated. Not you. I understand you did not get that first shot of vaccine. I do have the first one, getting the second shot this Saturday. So people are getting vaccinated. Things are opening back up. But just, I would say 90% of the people in the park, not masked. Just aggravating. Just
can I ask, what are the, what is the local health department's recommendations?
To still wear a mask in public.
Anytime you walk out of the house.
If you're around other people that you do not know. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
So in a park where you're more than 6 feet away from somebody.
Oh, no, that's the thing. It was packed.
Oh,
it was okay, so nice. Okay. Yeah, people were spread out. I don't give two shits. But when you're like walking by, you know, many unmasked people as you go through these trails. Yeah, that's my beef. Again, if people can spread out, I don't have an issue. But again, when it's so busy because it's so nice out and everybody's packed together. And again, I have, you know, I'm 50% vaccinated. I don't feel it makes me better than anyone. I do have the Moderna vaccine, which, as we have discussed, is the gold standard of vaccines. If you're going to get one, we recommend that. Pfizer,
weak. Okay. Weak. Pfizer is like the, it's like a Hyundai. It's like a Mazda. Sure, it'll do the job. But I mean, let's be honest, you know, right. when you're looking at best practices, when you are looking at fine engineering, when you are sitting there saying, what can I roll up in that is going to make everybody on the block jealous? You're thinking a BMW. You're thinking a Mercedes-Benz.
Exactly.
You're thinking Moderna.
Moderna. Johnson & Johnson, I mean, sure, if you want the same people that make baby shampoo to make your vaccine, you know, more power to you. We're not going to judge here on the Ron and Brian podcast. We're not going to vaccine shame. We're just going to give our own recommendations.
A Ferrari is Moderna.
Yes.
Johnson & Johnson is the public bus.
Ooh, wow.
That's what it is.
All right. So, Brian, we got many, many items, Jerry, to talk about this week. What would you like to start off with?
First, Ron. I have something I would like to talk about.
Let's do it.
One of our listeners, our loyal listeners from Oregon, who you are more familiar with than I am, recently posted that I pronounce Oregon incorrectly.
Okay.
I would like to know, how do I pronounce Oregon incorrectly?
I mean, I say it Oregon.
Oregon?
Oregon.
Oh, so it's not Oregon, it's Oregon.
Oregon. Portland, Oregon. Yeah, Oregon.
Oregon. Oregon. Really?
Yep.
Oregon.
Oregon. So you're nailing it, 100%.
All right.
You're on the right track now.
All right, there you go.
Should we give a quick stock update?
Stonks.
All right. As you know, we are big in the stonk game. We did have two that we did want to point out to people. Brian, you had kind of said, you know, if I was going to be getting out of certain stocks to let people know. And this is one that I think on one of our initial stonk segments we had talked about. This is Clover Health, trading under CLOV. I had gotten it at $13.70. It has been a rough ride. It is closed today down at $8.77. A very rare Ron and Brian misfire. But what we're...
Ron, I can't even hear you right now. Can't hear you. Can you hear me? Can you hear me, Ron? Because I sure as shit can't hear you. Nope. I'm going to leave. I'm going to come back. All right?
All right. How about now?
Now I hear you perfectly. What happened there?
All right. I can't hear you, though.
You can't hear me, but I can hear you perfectly.
So let me...
One, cheeky, cheeky. One, 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 two. One, two, one, two. Microphone check. Microphone cheeky check. Microphone check. Check. One. And by the way, I'd like everybody to know, Ron has recommended multiple stocks. What?
Oops, I'm sorry. Back. that was weird. That was very weird. I don't know what happened just then, but I will stop hitting that button, whatever that was. So anyway, back to the stonk game. So yeah, Clove, you might want to get out if you got in. And then another one we recommended a while back, Torchlight Energy, trading under TRCH. We've got into that at $2.30. We've been waiting on some merger news from them. We feel the merger news is going to come out tomorrow. Stock has already started to run up, closed at $3.23 today. And we're going to see if we can get it up between $4 and $5. So I would say get out by end of day tomorrow. They do have an earnings call on Monday. So if you feel risky, you can hold it till Monday and see if that pushes it any higher. But I'm not feeling the earnings report is going to do much with the stock price.
When are they announcing this merger?
I'm not sure of the time. I don't know that they've set the press release just yet.
Okay.
So keep an eye out throughout the day. Maybe set yourself a little sell limit action. That is the weirdest thing. I heard my...
Well, hold on.
Yeah.
Where... I think it had to do when you put up the bumper.
I did. I hit the bumper and it went out and then I don't know what happened. That was the weirdest thing.
When... what do you think is a good sell limit?
I'm going to see where it gets between 4 and 5. If I think it can make a run to 5, I'll hold. If it kind of starts dying out in between 4 and 5, I will, I'll take my profits out.
Okay.
Is that good, Brian? Are you happy with that?
Okay. I feel like you're very good at giving me the buy advice. I feel like when you say to me buy, the stock automatically goes up. Because it's hot, it's got a lot of attention. Then it slides down, and I don't feel like I get the, hey, you probably should just get out of this right now. I think it's going to get ugly. So I watch whatever profits I did get on the way up suddenly start to wind away.
Now, aren't you the one who also sold Norwegian Cruise Lines?
I did.
Yep.
Because you know why? Because my financial advisor said, you know, that stock's not really doing very well. So if you needed to like make some cash available, that yeah, you could sell that stock. And here are some great stocks that you should put your money into.
Should be more careful who you listen to, because that one closed up over $30 today.
Motherfucker! I sold that shit at $23.
$30.50. I'm holding that till now. I would keep an eye because it's been fluctuating, between $3 and $5. So I would keep an eye out, maybe get in on a dip. It goes down to like 27, 28 again.
You know I love buying dips. You know I love buying dips.
Buy the dips, not the rips. All right. That was stonk time.
No.
Stonks.
How do you do a stonk update without talking about LaborSmart? I own 75,000 shares of LaborSmart. How do you not talk about it? This isn't, okay, stonks is not a Ron's greatest hits.
Well, like, that's not what this is. This week. I don't believe it was. The Clove, I'm going to lose.
No,
I'm gonna lose some money on Clove.
Okay, so let's talk about LaborSmart because sure, I have 75,000 shares and I need to know. You're like, when do I get out of this thing?
I mean,
I have money tied up in this that I could be using to buy crank.
All right. So we initially bought in at a little over a penny a share. it closed today.
You invested at a penny. I invested at multiple times when it was significantly higher than that.
So anyway, it closed today. It's a little bit 0.023 cents. but they are in the home stretch of releasing their hydrogen water product, says it will be on the shelves around Easter time. So I think that's when we will see some additional movement. Short-term goal on that is 50 cents to a dollar. Long-term hold to get 5 to 10. I'm still all in. I'm still holding all 200,000 shares.
Yeah, because you bought them at less than a penny. I bought my shares at over 4 cents a share.
But you brought your average down today because you bought more, didn't you? You're getting that average. More.
I love buying Labor Smart. I have 75,000 shares of it that I keep buying in small tranches. Ugh.
I mean, you probably could have averaged down more if you bought at the closing price today.
I could have, but there's something bitter about when I feel like I'm buying a dip. I buy, and then it goes even lower than that.
Billy's asking what that symbol is. That symbol is LTNC, Labor Smart.
How does LTNC come out of Labor Smart?
I have no idea how they come up with these stock tickers.
Larry, Navajo, Tango,
all right, what
Charlie.
Else can we talk about this week, Brian? We got a bunch of stories just burning their way.
Ron, what's going on with my governor?
Your governor, I think he is now up to a half dozen sexual harassment accusations. I think the latest one said that he groped a woman under her blouse.
Yes. Oh, he reached under. Yes.
And I think even Billy de Blasio came out today and was pretty straightforward, said that Governor Cuomo should resign. I think there's at least 55 state representatives between Democrats and Republicans that are basically saying he needs to get out of office.
Everybody that he's pissed off over his 14 years in the governorship, everybody he's pissed off is now just salivating and standing indignant. First off, and I genuinely do believe this, that you're innocent until proven guilty.
Okay.
The man has six people who are alleging bad behavior. Cosby was up to how many? 30, 40? Yeah,
30, 40, 50, somewhere in that range.
Yeah. I think it's a little too early to assume guilt. However, I will say that at some point, this does become a distraction from his ability to govern.
So more of a distraction than lying to the Department of Justice about how many elderly died in nursing homes due to COVID?
Those were crazy times, Ron. And if you had been able to watch my COVID struggle that we were set to air today, were it not for Joe Biden screwing up, you know, our viewership. I mean, theoretically, we had about, 14,000 news organizations already RSVPing. They were going to join the live stream today for it.
On the low end, yes.
Yeah. You would have seen what living in New York was like in April of 2020. You would have seen the confusion, the anxiety. Papa Mario, he made us all feel better, you know, during that time with his trusted news conferences that he gave every day.
Again, I think there are a number of reasons Cuomo should be out of office. This is just the latest.
The nipple rings?
Didn't he disband the commission that was looking into fraudulent activities by his reelection campaign?
No clue.
I feel like that's a thing that happened.
I think if that guy can take a taser to the nipple ring and not pass out, I think he should be able to stay in power.
Trial by fire or
by
taser, as it will.
Ooh, right. We don't say trial by fire after January 6th. Trial by combat.
Trial by combat. You sweating over there? Anyway, what else we got here? Oh, this week, Brian, it was, of course, International Women's Day. And Burger King in the UK gained a whole lot of fans by a joke they made on Twitter. They started off with a tweet that said, women belong in the kitchen. They then followed that with tweets that talked about, they should. Only 20% of chefs are women. And they were talking about an initiative that they were starting, trying to change the gender ratio in restaurant industry by empowering female employees with the opportunity to pursue a culinary career. However, people felt the initial tweet was a tad bit tone deaf since they could have included more context in the initial tweet. Brian, is the internet overreacting or not?
He said overreacting. Of course it's overreacting. I think you have a lot of people that have a hobby in cancel culture. At the same time, do I believe that a marketing department of a international conglomerate, should they be tweeting something as out of step as women belong in the kitchen? Somebody deserved to be fired over that. I think, you know, it's a very weak attempt to post, that's because there's more men in executive chef roles than... No. You fucked up, own it, accept it, fire somebody, publicly shame them, you know, put their name out there, let us know where they live, let us know who their parents are, where their parents live, let us, you know, go after their parents, then we can all move on as a society.
All right. And even as they were getting torn apart by a variety of different comments, a number of which telling them that they should delete the tweet, they responded, "Why would we delete a tweet that's drawing attention to a huge lack of female representation in our industry? We thought you'd be on board with this as well."
No.
So would they
don't tweet women belong in the kitchen?
So would that be considered part of our new segment of who was canceled this week?
Yes, Burger King canceled.
But
we are canceling that. But that's not it. There were several cancels going on this week.
Oh,
first and foremost, Pepe Le Pew.
Oh, everyone's favorite cartoon skunk, Pepe Le Pew, cut from Space Jam 2.
What is Space Jam 2?
Apparently it is a sequel to the initial Space Jam, and I believe this one is starring LeBron James.
I never saw Space Jam 1.
Yeah, I can't say that I did either.
I have zero
in it. Bill Murray,
Bugs Bunny,
the guy who played Newman on
Roger Rabbit,
Feld. So yeah,
Ron Jeremy.
Apparently people have issues with Pepe Le Pew.
I can say he didn't, that his stuff doesn't really hold up.
Doesn't it?
The same light. No. And maybe we can look back and say, hey, that was a teachable moment. Maybe it was just playing on a stereotype of men that were hyper aggressive at courting a lovely, beautiful woman.
Well, I think it was, you know, they were very much going after that stereotypical kind of French, you know, romance guy that was in the
rapist
old days. Rapist, if you will. But yeah, so Pepe Le Pew, not in Space Jam. No plans to also have him in any future Looney Tunes or Warner Brothers television projects as well.
So he's canceled.
He is canceled. He is officially canceled.
May I ask you a question, opinion-wise?
Sure.
Who's worse? Pepe Le Pew, Bill Cosby.
Bill Cosby.
I would agree with you there.
Well, good. That's a good thing. I would
agree with you. Actually,
sexually assaulted women versus a cartoon would be worse. Yes.
But in Pepe Le Pew's, you know, if you're looking at him, he planted the seed of thought into how many millions of boys that this was how you show it. You show attention to a woman. That may have led to more rapes than Bill Cosby.
Maybe that can be your next major feature that you film. A little documentary into that.
The transitions that I had, the story. You know, I literally had storyboarded the entire 27 minutes. It was each scene I had mapped out. It there was an arc. You know, I was taking you on not just a story, but I was taking you on a feeling.
Well, you know who else was canceled?
An emotion.
Besides Pepe Le Pew, besides your COVID film, Les Miles, now former football coach,
Fuck this scumbag. Fuck him.
So apparently there were a number of sexual harassment allegations from his time at LSU that came to light last week. Apparently way back in 2013, LSU commissioned some reports, and there was a situation apparently of him texting female students, making them feel uncomfortable, allegedly being alone with them in his condo, and then once kissing a student in his car, along with suggesting she accompany him to a hotel after saying he could help her career.
Which is odd, because if I remember correctly, I did that to Scott Kingsley when we were in college.
You did. And it was wrong then. And again, teachable moment. You didn't really know back then.
I didn't know. Things were different.
Now, again, question for you, because you are one of the wiser individuals I know. Do you feel his firing from Kansas has more to do with these sexual harassment allegations, which, according to Les Miles' lawyer, the University of Kansas was aware of previously and had vetted prior to hiring him? Or is the issue the fact that Les Miles had posted a 3-17 record in his two seasons at the University of Kansas?
That's awful. That is an awful record.
Again, not saying he shouldn't have been fired, but I feel like the University of Kansas took this as a way to get out of his contract without, I'm sure, some big payout that he would have been due.
You know what? Fuck University of Kansas for hiring the guy. But you know what? You got to give him a little bit of credit. You know, never let a opportunity go without using it to your advantage.
There you go. And also canceled, apparently, the book that Andrew Cuomo wrote about the coronavirus has been paused by the publisher due to the federal probe into the state's handling of coronavirus in nursing homes. So again, not...
So should I delete the...
claims, but pausing it because he may have killed a whole lot of old people on his watch.
So should I delete the reviewer's copy that we have? We do have an EPUB that we were provided by the publisher when they were promoting the book's release.
Solidarity, I think it just makes sense that you would have to do that.
See, what I was thinking about doing was taking the EPUB file and picking up its blouse and sliding my hand.
Stop you right there. I'm sure wherever you're going is not a good place. So, Brian, a few months back, I want to say it was last year, we had covered the story over in France about French history teacher Samuel
Pepe Le Pew. Pepe Le Pew.
Samuel Paty, who had been beheaded by a Muslim who was apparently upset.
Yeah, and he deserved it. That teacher deserved it. I'm sorry. But if I remember correctly, and Ron, tell me if I'm wrong. This was the teacher who had Muslim students in his class, religious Muslim students. And he sat there and said to them, hey, tomorrow I'm going to be showing you drawings of Muhammad. Yeah. Muhammad. I was going to say Allah. No, it was Muhammad. And he said, tomorrow I want everybody to come in. I'm going to be showing you drawings of Muhammad, which is considered a cardinal sin in the Islamic religion.
Yes.
And he knew that what he was doing was blasphemous to some of his students. I could not think of anything more damaging to me as a Muslim student than to walk into the sanctity, the safety of my classroom and have my teacher say to me, I am going to take your religion and I'm going to stomp all over it with my insensitivities and whatnot. You know what? Murder is never acceptable. But in this case, based on the teacher's actions, I have to say, I understand where it's coming from. Ron,
I don't want to cut you update? Off. The update is that a French schoolgirl has now admitted to spreading false claims about that teacher prior to him being murdered.
What?
Yes, the girl whose complaints sparked an online campaign against Patty has now admitted that she wasn't even in the class on the day in question. She originally told her father, kind of as you said, the teacher had asked Muslim students to leave the classroom while he showed the cartoon during a class on free speech and blasphemy. So she and her father are now facing charges. Obviously, a very tragic story. Turned even more tragic when it turns out that it was based off of a lie.
So you're saying he didn't show... We don't know whether it was all a lie.
It would appear that way. So the girl has.
It was all a lie. I used to. Whatever. Never mind. I was going to do a Biggie reference, but never.
The girl has been charged with slander while her father was arrested on suspicion of being complicit in a terrorist killing.
Wow. Wow.
I know.
That is awful.
A very horrible follow-up to that story there. But I do have a very important question for you, Brian. Brian, what are you watching?
Ooh. I feel like we should have a bumper for this.
You think? I might be able to get taken care of for you real quick. Please tell me.
All righty. So this week we had a couple things. First off, I saw part 3 of Woody versus Mia on HBO Plus Max.
HBO Max, yes.
HBO Max. It was this one. We really delved into the criminal complaint against Woody Allen, how the court system was rigged inherently in his favor, how the state of Connecticut did not take the claims from Dylan particularly appropriately. Apparently, she was interviewed 9 times. And during those 9 times, her story somewhat changed, or it was said that they changed. When you asked Dylan, she said, "Hey, at the age of 4, I remember perfectly. I never changed my story whatsoever." And according to other people that were interviewed, they said that in instances like this, you never interview a child victim 9 times. You interview them once, you get their story, and what you're trying to do is not scar them emotionally. But in this case, she was interviewed 9 times. However, Yale University found that there was no evidence that they could corroborate that there had been anything inappropriate. We found that Mia Farrow liked to audio tape her calls with Woody. We then found out Woody also liked to do the same thing with Mia. But you're clearly hearing Mia's tapes. It's incredibly one-sided. And then we learned that when New York City got involved, because the crime happened in Connecticut, so therefore there should have been a New York case about it. The New York investigator absolutely believed Mia, absolutely believed the child. I don't want to name the child's name because she was a minor at the time. It's inappropriate. And yet suddenly the case got politicized. It got taken over by the higher-ups in the child welfare agency. And it was slipped away. Nothing to see here. Nothing happened here. Even though the investigator said that he absolutely believed that it was a substantial allegation that needed to be addressed because he felt it was true. Overall, an interesting episode. Once again, this is something absolutely from Mia's perspective. This is Mia's story. Woody is not, this is not a, you know, an even-handed documentary. This really should be called Mia's Story. So that was on, that came out on Sunday. So I watched that. On Monday, I watched Coming to America 2.
And how was that?
Have you seen it yet or no?
I have not seen it yet.
Okay. So the big fight scene in the end when Eddie Murphy is fighting Arsenio Hall, Okay, so halfway through, Arsenio Hall, who plays Semi, his number two, he decides he's going to break off because he never felt that he got the proper attention from Eddie Murphy as King. He decides to break off and assign his loyalties to Zamunda's number one rival. So this starts a war between the two countries, ultimately leading up to a battle between Arsenio Hall, Eddie Murphy. I felt it was forced. It didn't feel right. The war scenes, I mean, it felt like they were trying to duplicate the first 10 minutes of Saving Private Ryan. But for a comedy, you don't need that much blood. A comedy, you don't need that much death, crying, pain. Like it wasn't funny anymore.
It didn't work. All right. Yeah. What else did you watch this week, Brian?
I also watched South Park came out. They had their vaccination episode.
I watched that as well.
I was a very big fan of the, what was the last special they came out with?
They did the quarantine special.
I love the quarantine special. Yeah. I felt that they nailed it 100%. They literally hit everything. Whereas this vaccination special, I genuinely felt was just missed the mark.
It was weak. It was a couple of one-note jokes about not being able to get the vaccine and QAnon. And just, I was not a fan. I watched it in the hopes that it would somehow get better by the end. And
it didn't.
It did not. No.
How do you have all that time to write an episode? Like, these people used to knock out an episode in a week.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. You know what I'm watching, Brian?
Ron?
Yes.
What are you watching?
So I have started to watch on Apple TV a show called
WandaVision
for All Mankind. Apparently in its second season, we're just in its first season right now. So this takes place in an alternate reality where the Russians win the space race in the late 1960s. They make it to the moon first. And so the space race continues between the two countries. They build bases on the moon. So it's okay. It's very slow paced, but I'm not 8 episodes into the first season. And
Is it a drama?
A drama.
Do you think I would like it? Because that sounds like something up my alley.
Possibly. The only thing I don't like about it, like I like the science fiction and alternate history aspect of it, but they throw a lot of like family drama in it because all the astronauts have families, obviously, and everything else. So that drags it down. But overall, it's a decent show, worth checking out.
Yeah, I get it.
You get it.
I may check it out. I just pulled it up. I think I'm gonna try it.
All right. Also, we had a couple of celebrity obituaries. Celebrity obituaries this week. First off, this was a tough one. I know you and I were both kind of hurt by this loss. Tony Hendra, a British humorist, best known for being in This Is Spinal Tap, passing away at the age of 79. We've got a photo of Tony right there so you can recognize. He was, the tour manager for Spinal Tap, the one responsible for the very small Stonehenge on the concert tour.
But it was so many. He tried to get, he was struggling to get the hotel rooms in that one hotel. Yep.
So he passed away in Yonkers.
Yonkers?
Last Thursday due to Lou Gehrig's disease. So we say, now if you were, again, I'm not saying we're not going back to like grading deaths like we used to. But if we were, what would you grade Tony's death?
In the grand scheme of life, he gets a C minus. In my world, I would go, C plus.
All right. And then Louis Ottens, the Dutch engineer credited with inventing the audio cassette tape, has passed away at the age of 94. He passed away apparently back on March 6th in the Netherlands. No cause of death was provided.
Did the doctors put a pencil in him and just spin him around?
They tried. Apparently it was too late for even that.
And don't get me wrong, that joke is going to be made on 1,000 podcasts this week. I can get, I can absolutely guarantee it.
The funnier part is the age break where we're going to have listeners that have no idea what that joke is referring to.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that fortunately, we have nobody under the age of 35. So I imagine everybody's familiar with that. But yeah, first off, cassettes sucked.
They did, yes.
What they basically, the benefit of cassettes was that they took a large vinyl 12x12 and converted it into a portable format.
Right.
You could carry a cassette player with you easily. The quality was so poor. You know, you would buy a cassette, you would listen to it, and after three or four times, you could already hear a degradation. That's right, people. It's been a long day. I still know how to come up with the word degradation. But there was such a, the quality had worsened so much. And then, heaven forbid, you made a copy of that audio cassette. And it literally sounded like you would put your ear in the pool and you were playing music through the bottom of that water.
There you go. Well, we can't blame him for that, but rest in peace.
I like it, Ron, when I bored you to death because you literally just like pause and go, well, there you go.
There you go. There it is. real quick, we know Joe Biden tried to steal our thunder, so we'll steal some of his. If you didn't watch him, he is now asking all states to open up availability to vaccines for all adults by May 1st. Again, this is not a guarantee that enough vaccine will be available. But as far as all these phases and everything else, everyone who is not in a current phase eligible to get the vaccine, he is asking the states to allow them availability by May 1 with the hopes he has set a timeline of July 4th, Independence Day, as a set date for us to really start to try and return things back to normal.
So you're saying realistically, I should be able to get a vaccine by May 1st?
I'm saying you should be eligible to get a vaccine by May 1st. If you are not in a current eligibility group, you should
I'm not.
Be eligible by May 1st.
I'm not a healthcare worker. I'm not a first responder. I'm not an essential employee. I don't work in a restaurant. I'm not a forward-facing customer service role.
So what you're saying is you're not eligible.
I don't have an underlying health condition. No, what I'm saying is that I am not eligible in New York State, despite what people have accused me of over the past week,
correct,
stating that they believe I have received a vaccination shot, which I have not.
So also, Brian, I know we were talking up Moderna earlier. I suppose we would be remiss if we did not mention this story coming out of Utah, where a 39-year-old single mother with no underlying medical conditions died 4 days after receiving her second dose of the Moderna COVID-19 vaccine.
And this is top news on the New York Post. The New York Post is all over this story. The New York Post. Ron, I have a question for you. When you received your Moderna shot, because I mean, I can't answer for myself because I'm not eligible in my state,
correct,
but you have received your Moderna shot. At any point, did you feel that your life was at jeopardy?
I did not, no. I had a sore arm for a couple of days, but that was it.
Yeah, but that was from the excessive masturbating that you were doing at the time. Because you're like, oh, I got a shot. And you were like, oh, my arm is so sore.
And lastly, Brian, are you familiar with the dating app Coffee Meets Bagel?
I've heard of it.
All right. Well, they apparently are one of the first dating apps to add a section to individual profiles where you can put down if you are fully vaccinated for the COVID-19 vaccine or not.
Okay. I know what they're going for, but I think as we've established earlier, the real question, we're all going to be vaccinated by July 4th. Everyone's going to have an opportunity to make an appointment by May 1st. These things have already been established by President Joe Biden, who is the rightful president.
Sleepy Joe.
What I believe that, and I think this is where this dating app is missing the boat, is that it's not about whether you're vaccinated or not, but it really is what vaccine you received.
Well, that's the next step. I believe check off which one you have, I think, is the next step in this process.
I'm thinking, and I'm going to copyright this idea in case anybody wants to steal it, but I'm saying we should create a dating app for people who receive the Moderna vaccine. If you've gotten the Pfizer, you're not eligible for our app. Johnson & Johnson, as if. Fuck out of here. If you've gotten the Moderna and you can show us proof, and I believe the technology will be there for us to properly validate it, I believe we should create a dating community throughout America. Maybe, you know, if we get those angel investors that we've been talking about, we can take this international, but we'll call it modern Moderna dating. There's something better.
We'll work on the title. It needs to be a little bit more catchy.
Yes, but it's got to be. It's a dating app only for people who have received Moderna.
All right. This is just a little something I saw. I didn't save the article. But 2020 was the first year in United States since 1947 where more than 1% of the country's population died in 1 year.
Ooh.
So if you just want to get a handle as to the impact that the COVID deaths had, we set a record that had lasted since 1947.
Oh. That's I didn't hear about it that way.
Yeah.
That's bad.
And our life expectancy shortened by a year.
That's okay. Life expectancy, I think, is overrated.
Who wants to get old?
I think quality of... Well, you want to get old because you already are old.
I'm already there. Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks to everyone for joining us. This is our usual time where we will plug RonAndBrianPodcast.com. Lots of great merch on the site. You can also click and become a patron and join us for our Ron and Brian After Dark, which starts in about 24 minutes. So be sure to sign up. And also, apparently a new thing on Apple Podcast, they're going to be making a change in the next few weeks where you will not actually subscribe to a podcast, you will follow a podcast. So please follow us on Apple Podcasts or subscribe wherever else you get fine podcasting entertainment.
Follow, rate, and review?
Follow, rate, and review. Doesn't roll off the tongue as well.
No.
But what are you going to do? Anything else this week, Brian? Are we ready to roll on out and prepare for After Dark?
I think we got After Dark. I've got some lube I need to go warm up.
All right. Sounds like a hell of a night ahead of us. Thank you for joining us, everybody. We'll catch you again next week.